You're listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network, broadcasting on satellite GE1, transponder 7, 7.56 audio, and over 700 FM stations across the nation and around the world. The hour of the time is also carried on WRMI, Worldwide Shortwave Radio, 99.55 kHz, Monday through Friday night, 6 until 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time.
This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, eager.
101.1 FM is owned and operated by the Independence Foundation Trust as a non-profit community service.
Having a hard time finding your favorite show on shortwave or satellite? The Christian Media Newspaper now provides program guides to all the top Christian, patriot, and alternative radio programs. 4 times a year, they print an updated shortwave and satellite program guide. Christian Media is $20 per year and includes news and interviews on Christian books, video, music, and broadcasting. Subscribe now and receive a free Christian music compact disc with your paid order. To subscribe to Christian Media or receive more information, call 520-333-4578. Once again, to subscribe to Christian Media or receive more information, call 520-333-4578. That's 520-333-4578. Call now.
You're listening to the Hour of the Time. Boy, I sure messed that up, didn't I? Had commercials playing when the intro was supposed to be going. And all kinds of strange things here. Which just means that I'm not all with it today. So, please, excuse my goots. Ladies and gentlemen, I've had a headache since early this morning, and I've been battling that all day, and I really started to do a rerun, and then I thought, no, even though my head is splitting, it's just not fair to the listening audience to give them another rerun on top of the ones that they've been listening to so much lately. And I told you Friday that we would continue with our expose of the hidden enemy in our midst. And so, that's exactly what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen. Don't go away. I will be right back.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road.
Because
the wonderful things you met.
You have to see the river, the wonderful river around.
Well, I know an awful lot of you saw the movie, The Wizard of Oz. And I know that very few of you, if any, understood any of what it was that you were watching. And you didn't make the connections with the metaphors that were presented in that motion picture. Who was the wizard? Who was Dorothy? What did the Tin Man represent? The Scarecrow. And of course, the Cowardly Lion. What was that movie really all about? Well, I'm not going to give you the answer to those things, but if you want to, you can order the tape of the broadcast that we did where I did explain all of those things to the listening audience, and I may do it again sometime in the near future. But the connection that I want to make here is the Wizard of Oz. Most of you throughout your life have watched things change in America, and you couldn't figure out why these changes were taking place, for Americans certainly wouldn't want it to happen. You watched values destroyed, traditions disappear. You have noticed that all of this destruction is coming from within, and so you look in vain for an enemy. Well, just as the wizard in The Wizard of Oz presented such a terrible face to the public in the personification of Dorothy, Toto, the Straw Man, the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, and the Cowardly Lion, so too does this enemy present this terrible face to the public of the world in the personification of the power of the Hidden Order. And just as in the movie The Wizard of Oz, when Toto ran over and barked at the curtain and Dorothy told him to get away from there, well, he had the courage that none of the others had. He pulled the curtain aside, and just as in the movie The Wizard of Oz, this terrible, omnipotent magician, for that's really what he was. Magic is the art of illusion, ladies and gentlemen. The art of deception, if you will. Just as in The Wizard of Oz, this omnipotent, terrible magician turned out to be a blustering, harmless old man hiding behind a curtain, twisting knobs and pushing buttons and causing great jets of gas to erupt in flame on the throne in the audience room. So too, when you peer behind the veil that hides those known as the Illuminati, they turn out to be the same type of characters. And if you were able to identify them, ladies and gentlemen, round them all up overnight, you could end all this madness instantly. For they truly are, for the most part, doddering old men and women, and not so old men and women who in their everyday normal lives you would perceive to be as harmless as a caterpillar in your garden. And that metaphor applies also, for that harmless little caterpillar while you're busy sleeping is eating away your garden at night. However, he couldn't hurt you if he wanted to, could he? That's the perception. The perception is wrong because a whole bunch of those harmless little caterpillars can destroy your garden and deprive you of the food that you need. In fact, if they were to be able to proliferate freely across the agricultural farmland, they could indeed destroy an entire nation. So, don't dismiss these broadcasts and these revelations lightly. For just as those harmless little caterpillars that you can hold on your finger and couldn't hurt even a fly can destroy your entire garden in one night's work, or maybe even a couple of nights' work, so too can your grandmother, grandfather, uncles and aunts, fathers, mothers, brothers and sisters, cousins and neighbors destroy this nation behind your back while you're looking around in vain for something to identify as an enemy. They are busy at work in your own backyard, in your own kitchens, your own homes, living rooms, clubs, places of work, recreational facilities. And yes, they have an agenda. And yes, just like that caterpillar, if you're not careful, they will destroy your garden. Dr. Albert G. Mackey, ladies and gentlemen, literally wrote the book on Freemasonry. And remember, just in case you've forgotten, when I say Freemasonry, I am talking about the entire gamut of secret societies and fraternal orders, where at the lowest level they may perceive themselves to be under different names and different occupations and not intertwined at all, but at the highest level they are of the same mind and the same organization, going about the same work. They are, in fact, Marxist socialists, and they are bent upon social engineering, not just of their community, but of the entire world. Dr. Albert G. Mackey wrote the book. He is the author of the Encyclopedia of Freemasonry, published in 1879. Mackey was past General High Priest and Secretary General of the Supreme Council 33rd degree for the Southern Jurisdiction of the United States, which takes in 35 of the 50 states. He spent more than 10 years writing this encyclopedia. It has been considered one of the top two authoritative works on Masonry. The other, of course, as I've already informed you, is Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma. In his encyclopedia, Mackey clearly identifies Freemasonry as a religion. How could it fail to be when he himself was past General High Priest? High Priest? That's right, High Priest. How can you have a High Priest if you're not a religion? And that's just one of the things. But there's much more solid proof than just pointing to someone who's called High Priest. I can guarantee it. You see, Mackey clearly identifies Freemasonry as a religion, and he categorically states that it is not Christianity, all their protestations to the contrary notwithstanding. He says, quote, "Freemasonry is a religious institution, and hence its regulations inculcate the use of prayer as a proper tribute of gratitude to the beneficent author of life," end quote. Albert Mackey, Encyclopedia of Freemasonry, Volume 2, Chicago, New York, London, the Masonic History Company, 1924, page 594. He also says, quote, "The religion of Masonry is non-sectarian. It admits men of every creed within its hospitable bosom. It is not Judaism, though there is nothing to offend the Jew. It is not Christianity, but there is nothing in it repugnant to the faith of a Christian," end quote. Mackey, Encyclopedia of Freemasonry, Chicago, New York, London, the Masonic History Company, 1924, Volume 2, page 641. And he says this, quote, "Freemasonry is not Christianity, nor a substitute for it. It does not meddle with sectarian creeds or doctrines, but teaches fundamental religious truth," end quote. Mackey, Encyclopedia of Freemasonry, Volume 2, Chicago, New York, London, the Masonic History Company, 1924, page 162. Is Freemasonry a religion, ladies and gentlemen? Albert Mackey says yes. Is it Christian? Albert Mackey says no. Therefore, if Masonry is a religion, and it is not the religion of Christianity, Masonry is not a Christian religion, cannot be. And of course, we learned that from the writings of Pike, where he says that their religion is the Luciferian philosophy. So every Christian Freemason who claims it is Christianity is just flat lying to you, or is completely deceived. And that's the only two choices you get. Indeed, according to Billy Graham and two former presidents of the Southern Baptist Convention, up to 90% of our church members are not born again. Charles G. Finney, known as the greatest preacher, theologian, and evangelist of the 19th century, who was a Freemason for a short time, stated this, quote, "Surely if a Mason really understood what Masonry is as delineated in these books, no Christian Mason would think himself at liberty to remain another day in that fraternity. It is as plain as possible that a man, knowing what it is and embracing it in his heart, cannot be a Christian man. To say he can be is to belie the very nature of Christianity," end quote. Charles G. Finney, The Antichrist or the Masonic Society, Ontario, Canada, Crown Publications, 1984, page 60. So let's pause for a moment to get a better understanding of the fact that there have been and are only two basic religions. These two are, first, paganism, which incorporates the mystery religions, Eastern religions, Freemasonry, the New Age movement, etc. Second, Judaism, which is the mother of both Christianity and Islam. In his Encyclopedia of Freemasonry, Albert Mackey gives us a better understanding of this concept. He writes under the heading Paganism, quote, "A general appellation for the religious worship of the whole human race, except for that portion which has embraced Christianity, Judaism, or Mohammedanism. It is interest to the Masonic student arises from the fact that its principal development was the ancient mythology, in whose traditions are to be found many interesting analogies with the Masonic system," end quote. And he's right on the money when he says that. The understanding, ladies and gentlemen, that all religions other than Christianity, Judaism, and Islam have their common source in Lucifer's pagan occult mystery religions should help us place Freemasonry in its proper category. And that category is definitely not in the Judeo-Christian camp at all. You see, these pagan religions in the New Age movement share the same Luciferic philosophic source, as well as the same goal, establishment of a New Age world religion on the ashes of all other religions existing in the world. Freemasonry, according to its most distinguished authority, was mother to all these pagan religions. And I quote, "Much of the Masonic secret manifests itself particularly to those who advance to the highest degrees of the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite. That rite raises a corner of the veil, even in the degree of apprentice, for it there declares that Masonry is a worship. It is the universal, eternal, immutable religion such as God planted in the heart of universal humanity. No creed has ever been long-lived that was not built on this foundation. The ministers of this religion are all Freemasons who comprehend it and are devoted to it." End quote. Albert Pike, Morals and Dogma, pages 218 and 219. As you read Pike's comments, and you will, it's easy to get your hands on a copy of Morals and Dogma. It might require a little search, but you can find one. As you read Pike's comments, keep in mind that they were prepared for the southern jurisdiction of the United States and published by its authority. In other words, It is the official doctrine of Freemasonry, not what some local lodge officials might claim or what the current 33rd degree council might try to lie about. Yes, boy, these people can lie. Remember, they're sworn never to tell you the truth about their organization upon the pain of death. Not just sworn once, but sworn for every single degree that they obtain. Both of Freemasonry's highest authorities during the past 100 years clearly state that Masonry is a religion, complete with a religious creed, a worship. But just what kind of religion is Freemasonry? Like Mackey, Pike says the religion of Masonry is not Christianity, but is a universal religion which makes a Mason the brother of every other Mason on earth, bound together with these brothers from other religions under an imperative obligation of a contract. And I quote again, Masonry propagates no creed except its own most simple and sublime one, that universal religion taught by nature and by reason. Its lodges are neither Jewish, Muslim, nor Christian temples. It reiterates the precepts and morality of all religions. End quote. Albert Pike, Morals and Dogma, pages 718 and 719. And I quote again, the moral code of Masonry is still more extensive than that developed by philosophy. To the requisitions of the law of nature and the law of God, it adds the imperative obligation of a contract. Upon entering the order, the initiate binds to himself every other Mason in the world. Once enrolled among the children of light, every Mason on earth becomes his brother. End quote. Albert Pike, Morals and Dogma, page 726. Well then, how can a Christian or a member of any other religion belong to such an organization? After all, God's Word clearly commands us not to be yoked together with unbelievers. But a Christian Mason binds himself to every other Mason in the world. Every Mason on earth becomes his brother. As Finney said, any Christian who truly understands what Freemasonry really is could not stay another day in such a pagan cult. But most Freemasons, perhaps 99% of them, have no conception of the true nature of their fraternity. They have never, ladies and gentlemen, bothered to study the works of Masonry's highest authorities such as Albert Pike, Albert Mackey, and Manly P. Paul, and many others. These reveal that the organization is made up of an outer fraternity whose members are deliberately misled about Masonry symbols and dogmas, and by an occult inner brotherhood of adepts versed in magic, witchcraft, and the mystery religions of the ancient world. It is an admission, and I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to quote them so that you will know that I am not deceiving you. On the contrary, these people deceive you every day. Most Freemasons are not only unaware of the true nature of their fraternity, but they have no idea they are being deliberately deceived by the craft, as admitted by Albert Pike. Quote, the blue degrees are but the outer court or portico of the temple. Part of the symbols are displayed there to the initiate, but he is intentionally misled by false interpretations. It is not intended that he shall understand them. It is not intended that he shall understand them. Their true explication is reserved for the adepts, the princes of Masonry. It is well enough for the mass of those called Masons to imagine that all is contained in the blue degrees, and whoso attempts to undeceive them will labor in vain. There must always be commonplace interpretations for the mass of initiates of the symbols that are eloquent to the adepts. End quote. Albert Pike, Morals and Dogma, pages 818 and 819. But you see, Pike is not the only Masonic authority to disclose this sleight of hand. Remember, I told you that these are magicians. They practice magic. Magic is the art of illusion, the art, if you will, of deception. And who is the great deceiver? Well, it's the god of their religion, Lucifer. Illustrious Manly T. Hall, who was eulogized by the Scottish Rite Journal as the fraternity's greatest philosopher, stated in his book, Lectures on Ancient Philosophy, and I quote, "Freemasonry is a fraternity within a fraternity, an outer organization concealing an inner brotherhood of the elect. Two separate yet interdependent orders, the one visible and the other invisible. The Invisible Society is a secret and most august fraternity whose members are dedicated to the service of a mysterious Arcanum Arcanorum, that truly secret inner society which is to the body Freemasonic what the heart is to the human body." End quote. Manly P. Hall. Lectures on Ancient Philosophy, page 397. What is this mysterious Arcanum Arcanorum, which illustrious Manly Palmer Hall has described as being the subject of the Invisible Society's dedicated service? What is the true work of the secret inner organization? Pike, who wrote The Scottish Rite, and illustrious Manly Hall, its greatest philosopher, say that Masonry's true work is magic and witchcraft. According to Pike, the hermetic science embodied in certain symbols of the higher degrees of Masonry may be accurately defined as the Kabbalah in active realization or the magic of the works. End quote. Hall, after lamenting the fact that not all Masons are happy with this occult heritage, states that he can't see how anyone, after reading Pike's great work, can deny that Freemasonry is identical to the mystery religions. Boy, what kind of a revelation is that, do you think? Quote, "Even the casual observer must realize that the true wealth of Freemasonry lies in its mysticism. It is quite incredible, moreover, that any initiated brother, when presented with a copy of Morals and Dogma upon conferment of his 14th degree, can read that volume and yet maintain that his order is not identical to the mystery schools of the first ages." End quote. Manly P. Hall, again, Lectures on Ancient Philosophy, page 413. As a student of the mysteries, as a researcher into the secret societies, fraternal organizations, and ancient mystery school of Babylon, I recognize much of Pike's writings as coming from the same occult revelation given to Helena Petrovna Blavatsky in Isis Unveiled and the Secret Doctrine. Illustrious Manly P. Hall also recognizes Pike's works as being similar to those of other occultists. Quote, "Much of the writings of Albert Pike are extracted from the books of the French magician Eliphas Levi, one of the greatest transcendentalists of modern times. Levi was an occultist, a metaphysician, a Platonic philosopher, who by the rituals of magic invoked even the spirit of Apollonius of Tyana. And yet Pike has inserted in his Morals and Dogma whole pages and even chapters, practically verbatim," end quote. Manly P. Hall, Lectures on Ancient Philosophy, pages 413 and 414. So let me again point out that we're talking about a work, Morals and Dogma, that was prepared for and published by the greatest Masonic jurisdiction in America. In addition to Pike and Hall, Alice Bailey's husband, Foster, a 33rd degree Mason, also writes about the New Age Masonic connection as it relates to magic in his book, The Spirit of Masonry. Quote, "It is the creative nature of the Masonic work to work, say, and think the same thing simultaneously. The concentrated attention and thought power of the assembled Masons is in reality a group meditation, leading to group work. Masonry, in its true and highest sense, is magical work," the effectiveness of this possible work will be paralleled by the increasing sensitivity of the race to telepathic impression, end quote. Foster Bailey, The Spirit of Masonry, pages 96 through 98. And he also says in the same book, on page 99, quote, behind the magical work of the rituals must be the influence of the established rhythm. The materializing upon earth of the mystical vision must be brought about by the wise working of this law of rhythm and of ritual, end quote. But it gets worse, folks. Pike, for instance, said that Christianity should not have hated magic. I believe that everybody should hate magic unless it's being presented as a form of entertainment and is not meant to delude or deceive or harm anyone. Pike has said masonry at its core is based on the magic of the Kabbalah. But Pike says that it was necessary for this knowledge to be concealed from, quote, the profane, end quote. That's you and I, folks. But it's not really I, because I have penetrated their veil, and I understand their symbolic esoteric language. I know what they're about. I know what their plan is. I know who they are. I have discovered it. But if profane is not obtaining the degrees to legitimately obtain the knowledge, then, of course, I, like you, am profane. He states, if he seems to have been the nurse or godmother of all religions, the secret lever of all the intellectual forces. And this is what he says, quote, this is what magic had been from Zoroaster to Manes, from Orpheus to Apollonius, Theanius, when positive Christianity, triumphing over the splendid dreams and gigantic aspirations of the school of Alexandria, publicly crushed this philosophy with its anathemas and compelled it to become more occult and more mysterious than ever. At the bottom of magic, nevertheless, was science. Christianity should not have hated magic, but human ignorance always fears the unknown, end quote. You see, he's trying to say that Christianity and the destruction of the mystery religions destroyed science. Magic, ladies and gentlemen, is not science. This is another one of their deceptions. Science is not magic. Magic is not science. Never has been, never can be, never will be. But since Christianity did abhor magic, the magicians resorted to inventing Masonic degrees to hide the secrets of their craft and the methods of their magic. Quote, resorting to masonry, the alchemists there invented degrees and partly unveiled their doctrine to the initiates by oral instruction afterward, for their rituals to one who has not the key are but incomprehensible and absurd jargon, end quote. And that's true. I have the key. When they talk about the alchemists, they want you to believe that they're talking about scientists, but the alchemists were not engaged in science, and that it was, had nothing to do with turning lead into gold. The practice of alchemy, ladies and gentlemen, was the method of concealment of the practice of the ancient mystery religion of Babylon. The search was not for the philosopher's stone which would turn lead into gold, but for the philosopher's stone, ladies and gentlemen, the formulation of changing the human condition into that of a god. And all of their formulas were allegories and metaphors for the process of initiation and the perfection of the soul, for the apotheosis of mankind. Isn't Isn't it amazing? Next, Pike lets the magicating Christians have it broadside, calling them dunces who sought to exterminate magic. Quote, "The dunces who led primitive Christianity astray, who for so many ages waged war against magism, a war of extermination, have succeeded in shrouding in darkness the ancient discoveries of the human mind, so that we now grope in the dark to find again the key of the phenomena of nature," end quote, Albert Pike, Morals and Dogma, page 732. And the previous quote, which I forget to reference, was Albert Pike, Morals and Dogma, pages 730 to 731. Now this is so blatant a description of Lucifer's battle with God, who declared, quote, "Suffer not a witch to live," end quote, that it clearly draws the dividing line for us. On one side we have the satanic mystery religions embedded now in the highest rites and symbols of Freemasonry, and on the other side the dunces of Christianity. Can any Christian member of the Masonic Order maintain that this is a Christian organization after reading this blasphemy? Among other things, Pike has just described Masonry as searching for the key of the phenomena of nature. This is a classic definition of witchcraft. But you need not take my word for it, because Pike continues on the following pages to clearly say so, ladies and gentlemen. It's not hidden at all, but it requires some work to dig it out. The reason most people don't ever find it is because most people do not like work. In fact, most people spend most of their life trying to get out of work, and in so doing, usually end up working more than they would have if they had just done the work. So I have no aversion to work, ladies and gentlemen. I'll do it for you. You just listen. Then, if you're smart, you will go check my references, because, hey, I might be lying to you. I'm not. But unless you check these references and the citations and the sources that I give you, you're never going to know it, are you? Here's his confession. Quote, "There is in nature one most potent force by means whereof a single man who could possess himself of it and should know how to direct it could revolutionize and change the face of the world. This force was known to the ancients. It is a universal agent. If science can but learn to control it, it will be possible to change the order of the seasons, to produce in night the phenomena of day, to send a thought in an instant around the world, to heal or slay at a distance, to give our worlds, our words, I should say, universal success and make them reverberate everywhere. This agent, partially revealed by the blind guesses of the disciple of Mesmer, is precisely what the adepts of the Middle Ages called the elementary matter of the great work. It was adored in the secret rites of the Sabbat or the temple under the hieroglyphic figure of Baphomet or the hermaphroditic goat of Mendes," end quote, Albert Pike, Morals and Dogma, page 734. The truth is, Pike has been deceived by his own lies. There is no such thing, ladies and gentlemen, as magic other than the practice of deception. You see? Now, through science, some of these things have been accomplished, but not through the mysterious, magical control of nature, but by the use of definite scientific principles based upon laws of nature that can be repeatedly proven in a laboratory. It's all based on theory. And from time to time, even though the theories work, they're proven wrong over the years, and a new theory takes their place. Watch for the fall of a lot of Einstein's declarations. If you still have doubts, look up the meaning and origin of Baphomet and the goat of Mendes, for they are forms of Satan himself, and a sabbat is an assembly or celebration of witches or other occultists, usually held on astrologically significant days and hours, end quote. You also need to understand that the terms witch, magician, sorcerer, and wizard all mean the same thing. A magician engages in magic or witchcraft, the art of illusion, or the practice of deception. The terms are synonymous. And who is their god? Who is the master of deception described in the Bible? Still not convinced? Well, read some more of what Pike has to say about the great work, the universal term for magic. Quote, "Whoever shall learn to comprehend and execute this great work will know great things, say the sages of the work. But whenever you depart from the center of the square and the compass, you will no longer be able to work with success. Another jewel is necessary for you, and in certain undertakings cannot be dispensed with. It is what is termed the Kabbalistic pentacle. This carries with it the power of commanding the spirits of the elements," end quote. Albert Pike, Morals and Dogma, 786 to page 787. But many Freemasons, folks, will tell you that all this talk about commanding spirits and the like is just symbolic. However, Pike cautions against reading Masonic works too quickly or believing what you may have been told, that what you read is only symbolic. For he says, that's when you are most deceived. He says, and I quote, "If you would understand the true secrets of alchemy, you must study the works of the masters with patience and assiduity. Every word is often an enigma, and to him who reads in haste, the whole may seem absurd." And indeed it does, if you don't have the key to their esoteric language. "Even when they seem to teach that the great work is purification of the soul, and so to deal only with morals, they must conceal their meaning and deceive all but the initiates," end quote. Albert Pike, Morals and Dogma, page 792. And that is correct. For it is not just the perfection of the soul, ladies and gentlemen, that they seek. It is the elevation, the perfection of the human race, and the elevation of humanity to the status of God. They believe that through the use of the intellect, they can conquer nature and the universe and thus become God. But not through any hocus-pocus and waving of wands, but through science. Masons also contend that Masonry is just an organization which makes good men better, that it's all aimed at symbolically building a temple for the inward dwelling of God. But if this is your belief, read again the previous statement by Pike and discern, finally, that you are a victim of deliberate deceit. For that's not what they're about at all. They do not believe in God of any kind, ladies and gentlemen. Today, the 33rd Degree Council has even denied that Masonry is related in any way with the occult mysteries. Such a denial is absolutely preposterous on its face. It's most of the ritual and ceremony engaged in the lodge are the exact same ritual and ceremony practice in the lodges, the temples of Mithra. In Heliopolis, in Egypt, in the rites of Eusebius, and many others. All back through the ages, through the history of the world.
I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. In my head, I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain. I'd unravel every riddle for any individual in trouble or in pain.
with the thought you'd be thinking you could be in Martha Lincoln if you only had a brain.
Oh, I could tell you why the ocean's near the shore. I could think of things I never thought before, and then I'd sit and think some more. I would not be just a number, my head all full of stuffing, my heart all full of pain. I would dance and be merry, life would be a ding-a-dairy if I only had a brain.
Wonderful! Why?
Oh, yes, it is wonderful. I love to do those things. Think about what you just heard. You know, I once met a man who had been a worker on an assembly line at one of the largest automobile corporations in the United States of America during the heyday of the auto industry in this country. This man wasn't so old. He was in his late 30s. And he got laid off during the reorganization and mechanization and robotizing of the assembly lines and the factories and shipping factories overseas and having parts made in foreign countries. He was the victim of this. I thought he was only the victim of his short-sightedness, his own short-sightedness. For he told me, he had the unmitigated gall to tell me to my face that he was a specialist in his field. He stood on the assembly line, and when this part came by or this car came by, he put in two bolts and tightened them down with an air gun and did a couple of other things, and then it moved on. That's all he ever did in his whole life. He started as a young man and worked on that assembly line, and he claimed that he was a specialist, highly trained automobile worker. And I thought, how silly. This man has the same brain as the President of the United States, or the CEOs of the largest and richest corporations in the world, the same brain that occupies the cranium of the Queen of England, the same brain that is in the head of the greatest artists in the world and the greatest writers. And yet he really believed that all he was good for was standing on this assembly line, putting in two bolts, tightening them down with an air wrench, and doing a couple of other little things that any monkey could be trained to do. And he had been paid $16 an hour to do this, ladies and gentlemen. Now he found himself out of work, and he told me, this is what he said. He said, I'm too old to train for another line of work. My thought, which I did not say to him, was, dear sir, you have never trained for a line of work in your life. Someone has taught you, and you have bought the lie that you are worthless and that your brain doesn't work and that you are incapable of original thought or learning or progression or bettering yourself or taking advantage of opportunities or becoming the greatest of whatever it is that you would like to be the greatest of in the world, because you can do it if you just believe that you can. And so many of you fall into that category. You haven't got the slightest notion that you are capable of as much or more than any other human being on the face of this earth, no matter their status, no matter the family that they were born into, no matter the degree of their wealth, no matter their position in society or industry or in government. It is the truth. You see, you have been the victim of magic. Here's how Pike characterized Masonry's occult heritage on page 639 of Morals and Dogma of the Ancient and Accepted Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. Quote, "The occult science of the ancient magi was concealed under the shadows of the ancient mysteries, and it is found enveloped in the enigmas that seem impenetrable in the rites of the highest masonry," end quote. If the occult science of the ancient magi, or magicians, was incorporated into the ancient mysteries, and if this occult science is now found enveloped in the rites of the highest masonry, then this statement by the author of the current version of those rites should be adequate to document the claim that Freemasonry is the repository of the occult heritage of the mysteries that are to be reinstated for the New Age world religion. This New Age world religion, we are told, is to be inaugurated by the return to earth of, quote, the Christ, end quote. But it will not be the Christ of the New Testament, of the King James Version, or any other version of the recognized Bible of the Christian Church. No, when they say the Christ, they mean something entirely different, ladies and gentlemen. What they mean is the perfection of the human race. They call it a paradigm shift in the consciousness of humanity or mankind. And anyone who is incapable of making this paradigm shift will not be allowed to progress into the New World Order. They will be simply exterminated. You see? For they believe that every man can be Christ. And that includes every woman. In the New Age movement, you will hear talk of becoming Christed, or that person has been Christed, or this and thus and that ascended master is occupying the office of the Christ. What they are referencing is their particular version of what they believe to be the perfection of the human soul through the attainment of the formula that produces the philosopher's stone, and thus elevating the human race into the next root race, which will be the sixth root race. The one that is passing by the wayside is the fifth root race. And these root races always are led in these secret orders by the Nordic man. What some of you would know as the Anglo-Aryan race. And they believe that all other races are inferior and are, for the most part, useless eaters. And that their job is to help these inferior races in the progress of their evolution. And the ones that cannot make progress should be exterminated. And it is just amazing to me that so many blacks, Hispanics, Orientals, Native Americans, and others outside of this Anglo-Aryan adept brotherhood have fallen for their deception and really believe that they are going to be the beneficiaries of this New World Order. They will be brought out of slavery and out of segregation and out of inferior third world nations to a state of equality with the rest of the world. And nothing, ladies and gentlemen, could be farther from the truth unless they listen to this broadcast, get their head out of their you-know-whats. And stop falling for these deceptions. Everything that is happening in the world today is based upon two motivating factors, race and religion. And the motivating factors of race and religion are events that have happened sometimes hundreds and thousands of years ago in the past. And that just about does it for this episode of the Hour of the Time. So, ladies and gentlemen, until tomorrow, when I hope I'll be feeling a little bit better, good night, and God bless each and every single one of you. Listen carefully.
Why have you come back?
Please, sir, we've done what you told us. We brought you the broomstick of the Wicked Witch of the West. We melted her.
Ah, you liquidated her, eh? Very resourceful.
Yes, sir. So we'd like you to keep your promise to us, if you please, sir.
Not so fast. Not so fast. I'll have to give the matter a little thought. Go away and come back tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Oh, but I want to go home now.
Do not arouse the wrath of the great and powerful Oz. I said come back tomorrow.
The great Oz has spoken. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. The great Oz has spoken.
Who are you?
Oh, I am the great and powerful Wizard of Oz.
You are?
Yes.
Don't believe you.
No, I'm afraid it's true. There's no other wizard except me.
You're a very bad man.
Oh, no, my dear. I'm a very good man. I'm just a very bad wizard.
Well, what about the heart that you promised Tin Man? Well, and the courage that you promised Cowardly Lion?
Well, I'm Scarecrow, say. Why, anybody can have a brain. That's a very mediocre commodity. Back where I come from, we have universities, seats of great learning, where men go to become great thinkers. And when they come out, they think deep thoughts, and with no more brains than you have. But they have one thing you haven't got, a diploma. Therefore, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Universitatis Comitiatum e Pluribus Unum, I hereby confer upon you the honorary degree of Ph.D.
Ph.D.?
That's Doctor of Thinkology.
How can I ever thank you enough?
Well, you can't. As for you, my fine friend, you're a victim of disorganized thinking. You are under the unfortunate delusion that simply because you run away from danger, you have no courage. You're confusing courage with wisdom. Back where I come from, we have men who are called heroes. Once a year, they take their fortitude out of mothballs and parade it down the main street of the city. And they have no more courage than you have.
Go watch the movie again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have to rent it. Watch The Wizard of Oz again. This time, watch it with your brain. And watch it with your brain. And don't forget to follow the money. The Yellow Brick Road. Something like that. This is the Voice of Freedom.